Listening to 103.7 The Game on your Amazon Echo is easy. Just enable the Alexa skill for 103.7 The Game on the Alexa app from your mobile device. Just say, Alexa, ask 103.7 The Game to play live.
It's so easy, anyone can do it.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game. And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. It is a Thursday, March 7th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch, and of course broadcasting on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Ben Love live here from the Tap Room with you for the next 3 hours. I'm joined, as always, by the famous Clint D. He's inside the 237 Roof Studios. Remember, there's no job too big or too small. Just call Lafayette Roofing, 237-7663. Busy show today. And for the second B2BS program in about 2.5 weeks, I get to give you the good and the bad with LSU basketball. The good, short term, they just keep winning. In fact, they don't lose on the road anymore, and it's one of the most impressive athletic feats I have seen in my time covering LSU sports. I'll elaborate more. Of course, you know what the Jekyll to the Hyde is here, right? Or vice versa, whichever one of those cats is bad. Will Wade's name, again, is in the media for the wrong reasons. And again, it's not exactly damning just yet. But there continues to be more and more smoke. You can't help but to wonder if there's going to be fire, especially April 22nd during the FBI corruption trial. So I'll lead off on both of those points and take your phone calls. 706-0111. Hey, let's start with the good, and I'll tell you why momentarily. LSU dust off Florida in OT, and the Tigers wrap up a 9-0 road slate inside of the conference. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the second most impressive thing that I've witnessed since covering LSU sports. The first one, running the table undefeated, the football side, in the 2011 season. I know that week 14 that year on the docket didn't go very well in the Superdome. I was there. First 13 weeks, I've never seen anything quite like that in this conference. I know that Auburn did it with Cam Newton. I know that Alabama has done it under Nick Saban, but it was an amazing run for LSU football that year. And that's just the caliber of run we're witnessing right now. I really think it's borderline that special. I'm serious. 9-0 in SEC play on the road to me is nearly unfathomable, considering all the different landmines that you encounter when you go to Coleman Coliseum in Alabama, when you go to the Ozone like last night in Florida. The places LSU has played this year, Rupp freaking Arena, for quiet out loud. I mean, it's incredible what they've done. And they're on the doorstep of clinching another SEC regular season title for the program. And oh, by the way, since the committee cares about these things, LSU, I believe, now 10-2 in quadrant one games. And they did it with the revitalized Tremont Waters. Now, don't get me wrong, Trey did Trey things, right? 19 points, 6 assists. The play when you needed it late, when he gave you basically the Danny Ainge holy roller play where he goes coast to coast and lays it in like a blur, and then he gives you a three ball early in overtime that helped to float LSU. But he did some trade things on the other side as well, right? 6 turnovers. He takes some chances. Defensively, I don't know that he makes this team better on that end of the floor. I know that he's the head of the snake, that he averages 2-plus steals a game. But somehow, I think they performed a little better defensively in his absence. Still, they did what LSU has done, which is win on the road, and which is win late when it's hairy. Out of the 9 road wins, I believe this is now 4 that have come in overtime in SEC play. Remarkable. Javonte Smart gives you 15 points, and then Emmett Williams, I think one of his top 2 performances in the purple and gold. 13 points, 14 boards at a time. He had 11 straight in the first half. It's incredible what this team has done. And you've heard all the superlatives from me so far. They have earned it. And what's a shame, as I segue into the potentially bad, come late April and beyond, what's a shame is that I think lost in the shuffle of what could, but we don't know will happen, lost in the shuffle is the job that Wade and this staff has done in preparing LSU to go on the road, in changing modes, in changing game plans midstream. This has been one of the best coached LSU teams that I've seen in a while, maybe in a generation, certainly since Dale Brown left the sideline. And so to me, that's kind of the shame of this whole thing, because the other side of the coin, by now you probably have seen the exclusive report that Yahoo Sports put out late this morning. Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel, at least two of those guys, not particularly fond characters in Tiger Country. But the report, and I'll summarize it briefly and then give my thoughts, because that's where I know that you would like me to go. Or maybe you don't, but I will. The gist of it is that Wade, again, they have records at this point via another tape from the FBI, records indicating a conversation that Will Wade had with the currently imprisoned Christian Dawkins, basketball handler slash middleman, and Wade openly, freely, talking about a quote-unquote strong-ass offer that he made for the smart thing, and that's what he's referring to it as. I don't think it takes a genius to figure out that that means LSU freshman Javonte Smart, but let's be clear here. While it does seem to implicate Wade and LSU in angling to cheat to get the former Scotlandville Magnet star, a three-time Louisiana Gatorade Player of the Year, it might not be damning enough. And you heard me use that phrase off top in the program. A lot of people are going to do some armchair lawyering on this one. I'll do my best not to join that crowd. But I think it is fair to say that these quotes alone might not be enough for the NCAA to one day nail Wade and LSU to the wall. And again, you know I don't get too much on my high horse with the I told you so, but I've been pretty clear on this program because I had been told for months that there was more than just the one tape that we all heard. What was it, back in October? Okay, well, now all of a sudden, that's coming to fruition. There is more than just one tape, and there's probably more than we know now, and it's probably all going to be played very publicly at an FBI corruption trial on April 22nd. But again, I'll take you through the series of events as I see them coming. The FBI really doesn't give a rat's you-know-what about the college basketball corruption and cheating. It's a means to an end to get much bigger fish in a wire fraud case. Big fish that had their hands in a lot of dirty things, one of which was sending Christian Dawkins off on his way with bags full of money to try and get kids in their corner to then get their contracts, their agent representation once they became NBA stars. Plain and simple. And so the FBI would like Will Wade and would like Sean Miller to help them make their case. Wade is a pawn. He is a means to an end in this instance. But here's the rub. You got to tell the truth. If they ask you to sing like a canary, you have to, or else you go to the federal clink. And so he's going to have to tell the truth, especially if confronted with more of these tapes that, frankly, we probably don't know about at this point. Everything he says, everything Sean Miller says in that FBI hearing is then admissible for the NCAA, which we know has been a veritable clown car that dunces like to fall out of. We know that. And so maybe they won't be able to use what's gathered and given to them by the FBI to get LSU, to get Will Wade. But we don't know that's not going to happen either. And so, again, what I'm going to tell you is today is an instance of even more smoke. And to me, I've just got the, like our friend Frank would say, I've got that creepy feeling crawling up behind me that with this much smoke, fire can't be that far behind, right? But here's where I'll end it, because I think my little brother, and I'll give him a shout-out, probably said it best, and many of you are probably in this same camp. I don't blame you. He read this report, and he texted me and said, okay, well, the things you've been telling me are right. He said, but let me make one thing clear to you, Ben. Hang the banners. go out there and win the whole dang thing. I don't care if they take him down for the PMAC. He said, they can hang him in my crib, but the banners are going to hang. And so I know there are so many of you that probably feel the same way, and that's why this is simultaneously the most exciting and the most frustrating of times. But I think a lot of you are going to choose to let the exciting go to the forefront. I don't blame you, because the national championship game is a month and a day from today. And LSU right now is looking just about as good as anybody out there. It's incredible what they're doing on the hardwood, and it's a little stupefying. Some of the things that potentially Wade may have done to not close his door, and yeah, the pun's intended there, that might just put the coach, the program, in hot water. CD, before we hit the break, I do want to play one clip from Wade earlier today. Because toward that end, the idea that LSU, they'll play for glory now and roll the dice in April, whatever happens, happens. Toward that end, CD, Wade was asked if all of this in midseason has become a distraction for his team. I'd love for you to air that out.
Guys, we've handled everything very, very well so far. We talk about the bigger the game or the more noise that's out there, you've got to narrow your focus. And so we've been very good at keeping a narrow focus and narrowing our focus, thus far. And I think this will be no different.
That's LSU coach Will Wade, and certainly an awkward situation, you would think. He had his monthly press luncheon today over LeBears in Baton Rouge while this exclusive report from Yahoo was dropped. And here you go. The inevitable text has already come through. Ben, tell your brother if his crib doesn't have room, the banner can hang at my place. I don't blame you for feeling that way, not even a little bit. All right, we're going to take our first break of the program. Hanging out today and every Thursday at the Tap Room River Ranch. They'll have live music after we're done, 8 until 11. On the other side of this break, oh, I've got a question for you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back in on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. And all right, I already showed you my hand. Now you need to show me yours. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. The best of times with LSU basketball, and they may be one of the best two or three teams in the history of the program. Weird juxtaposition with something that could turn into the worst of times with Will Wade. I don't know that it will yet, but that's kind of where I want to go. That's the temperature I want to take. So, CD, quickly, let's get to the music. We need time for the people's opinions.
Exciting and new.
Your sink or swim question of the day. This FBI probe will end poorly for, and I'm going to let you fill in the blank with one of four options. Number one, Will Wade. Number two, LSU hoops. Number three, both of the above. Or number four, none of the above. As you can see, we're giving you carte blanche here. And I know, we're forecasting, we're projecting, when really, there's not a story to tell yet. But I think there's starting to be a lot of breadcrumbs that can lead you in a direction. At least that's the way I see it. A little more interested in how you see it. 706-0111. CD, lead us off.
I got to say, Ben, I think it's going to wind up ending poorly for both of the above. It's got to be Will Wade and LSU hoops. As you can about imagine, LSU hoops, regardless of what winds up happening with this trial that's going on in April, there's going to be a lot of sanctions being hit on them in the next 12 months or so after that trial goes down and everything with that. And then Will Wade might wind up just out of college hoops altogether and potentially go towards the professional ranks or somewhere along those lines. But I think it's just going to end poorly for both parties, because the fact you wind up having LSU hoops get hit probably the hardest. Will Wade, it all depends on what happens after April.
I'm going to keep it real with you. You said one thing there that's a little bit dangerous. I believe you said something to the effect of LSU's going to get hit with the number of sanctions. I'm going to caution you there, amigo. We don't know that yet. And while I feel that this is going to end up going poorly for one or potentially both of the entities and program, there's nothing yet in stone. We don't know anything yet. But again, I've been a little bit of a soothsayer for you, just being honest with you, because I've told you on this program for quite some time now that there was more to this than we originally heard back in October. A couple of weeks ago, when we heard that the FBI subpoena was coming, I told you that I had been hearing there was more tapes than we just had been led to believe so far or had been released. My fear is that this is going to end poorly for LSU Hoops and not Will Wade because, and you kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but that's exactly what I told you a couple weeks ago. My fear is that Wade's best out is to go to the NBA. To hell with the show clause stuff. I'm going to go somewhere where the NC2A can't touch me. Call it the old Pete Carroll special. I'm getting out of Dodge, bro. I'm gone. You can't affect me if I'm not within your jurisdiction. And so that's my biggest concern, is that LSU basketball gets left in a precarious position. I think it's more likely that LSU basketball takes the brunt of this than Will Wade. Now, there's one possible caveat there, and then we're taking our first call. There's one caveat. If LSU basketball goes to the Final Four this year, maybe they even win it all, then I think all of this, I hate to put it this way, but it's been worth it, right? Program that's never accomplished this before. It's like somebody the other day said, well, what if they vacated? Okay, well, they vacated all the Fab Five. Did that not happen for you? I lived it. Believe me, it happened. They may not hang those banners in the Chrysler Arena anymore in Ann Arbor, Michigan, but trust me, the Fab Five happened. And so if this team goes far enough, maybe you can justify, I know not morally, but some of the things that could, Clint, be coming down the pike. All right, let's get out now to the ARTCO Equipment Hotline. Jace, thank you for the patience. What's your answer here?
Hey, man, I think it's going to end bad for the Hoops. I see Will Wade going the same way that you're saying, but what's bad about it, I ain't heard nothing from the AD. If he's using, you know, these young kids like a meat processing plant, I mean, that's not good for the sport at all. And I wanted not to believe it, but I just think there's too much smoke for no fire. So that's what I have to say. The Hoops are going to pay for this. Whether we win or not, I think LSU is going to take the hit.
Jace, I appreciate the call. Thank you, man. And we got time for more. 706-0111. We got rolling so good earlier, I didn't even give you our schedule today. So while you're calling in, let me tell you who all is going to join us. Hunt Palmer will be with us in about 10 minutes. We'll talk mostly LSU baseball, little LSU hoops as well. Jake Madison, Locked On Pels Podcasting, coming aboard at 5:15 to talk life kind of sort of after Anthony Davis. And we are loaded up in the 6 o'clock hour. So I want to make sure to tell you this now. If you know you're getting out of the vehicle, make sure you tune us back in. 6 o'clock, we'll have Tim Buckley talking Cajuns for the Daily Advertiser. But your boy, from the other side of the basin, is coming back at 6:15. His take, at least on Twitter, seems to be somewhat different than mine. I think it's going to be phenomenal radio at 6:15. We will cross the basin to talk with Matt Moscona, host of After Further Review. And if you want to know where to listen to him or watch him, basically, Cat's ubiquitous at this point. He's everywhere. And he'll be with us at 6:15. But I'm looking for some more right now. I'm looking for some more of your takes. Who's this going to end poorly for? Let us know. 706-0111. Kelly on Twitter says, it does not look good, Ben. Not good at all. And I could tell just by looking at some of the way the voting has shaken out to this point. 50% of our respondents say it's going to end poorly for both of the above. 33% say it ends poorly for none of the above. And the other 17% say it's going to end poorly for Will Wade. And so nobody on Twitter at this point thinks it's possible this ends up worse for the program than the coach. I find that a little bit curious. But I would like to get some more of your takes. Again, we'll have Hunt Palmer here within the next 8 to 10 minutes. 4:45 when we come back in, we'll be open for this topic again, straight up 5 o'clock as well. And here's the thing. I'm not trying to discourage anybody out there from getting amped about what's happening on the floor. Because as I told you, I don't think that anything I've seen since covering this program can touch it with a 20-foot pole. It's ridiculous, the idea of going 9-0 on the hardwood, on the road, and winning all these games so late. It's incredible what they're doing. And I don't know if the sandcastle is going to get knocked down or not. I'm not telling you today that it will. But for months, people who know more than me have been saying, Ben, this ain't over, and it may not end pretty. If you say different, I just think your head might be in the sand a little bit. That's just where I come from. Let's get back out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Bob, who does this end poorly for?
Well, let me pull my head out the sand or some other place. But I just get the vibe from some of my TAF friends who are usually in the know that they don't seem too worried about this. And they're talking about people in the athletic department, on the staff. I mean, they just don't seem too worried or too concerned about this. And I'm not saying it's going to, you know, they're going to pull a North Carolina and just walk away, you know, completely free and everything. But I just, you know, right now, for all we know, it's much ado about nothing until it goes to trial.
Well, let's define some terms quickly, and I got about a minute left. Bob, I'll speak to that, but I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
So let's get this out there. It's not the NC2A that wants to talk with Will Wade right now. That's why it's so different than North Carolina, than Missouri. You know, name your example. The NCAA comes knocking because somebody's cheating and they want to stop it. They usually don't or can't. This is the FBI, and they want him as a means to an end. But maybe, ultimately, Bob, this is semantics, because the information gathered from an FBI trial could be used by the NCAA. And what you don't want ever is for the NCAA to be snooping around on campus. So, I don't know. At this point, to assume that it's much ado about nothing, it feels naive to me. I'll be thrilled if in a month, 2 months, 8 months, that I was wrong. I'll be thrilled if this was much ado about nothing. But right now, I tend to lean a little bit more toward I'm choking on the smoke. Where the hell's the fire? All right, we'll be right back in. We're bringing you fire. Hunt Palmer talking LSU baseball on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
Back in for break. This is B2BS. That's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. It's Thursday. It's slightly after 4:30. That means our man is aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He is Hunt Palmer. He is the host of a podcast you can find, 1045ESPN.com, on LSU Hoops. It's called Hoops with Hunt. He's a co-host, same website, of Outside the Box with Charlie Hanegraaff. How are you, Hunt?
I'm all right, Ben. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to choose to stick to the good when it comes to LSU basketball, and it's that they don't lose on the road. I've never seen anything quite like it since I've covered the team. I would imagine same for you, but how is it they continue to bounce up off the mat, and no matter the situation, they win away from the PMAC?
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. We both got some journalistic training under our belts, and you're not supposed to use cliches because they're empty and they're tired and they're boring and all those words, but they really do just find a way. I mean, it's a different guy every night, whether it's Tremont hitting the big shot or getting to the rim, Javonte Smart taking over, Skyler hitting the big three, Emmett Williams stepped up huge in the first half and scored 9 straight points. I think mainly it's just that they're just a really good team. This team is totally bought into what their role is on the team. Emmett Williams knows he's out there to get offensive rebounds and score around the rim, so he does that. Marlon Taylor's out there to defend the best wing and dunk. He does that. Tremont Waters is out there to run the show and get steals. He does that. Javonte and Skyler are out there to knock down shots and get to the rim and shoot free throws. They do that. It's Cavell protects the rim. It's everybody does exactly what they're supposed to do, and
they're just not, they don't flinch. It's, they just don't. Whenever they got down almost 10 points, I didn't think it was going to get away from them. I thought they'd make a run, and Skyler hits a three and they come right back and they go on a 10-0 run over a minute and a half and take the lead. It's just an incredible team to watch.
This may sound foolish to you, and obviously tell me if it does, but is there any part of the integration of Trey Waters back into the lineup and rotation that you think could harm them? And for me, the only way I kind of see that is in half-court defense.
No, for every bucket he gives up because he's not an incredible on-ball defender, he's not a bad one. He creates another one with a steal. I mean, he's so good with his hands out there, and he's such a pest. And because they've got shot blockers now back there, he can be even more aggressive and try to get the steal, because even if they blow by him, he's got some help back there. So, no, I think that everything he brings to the team is a positive. And for me, this team's really only going to go as far as he takes them running the show.
Talking LSU basketball and about to switch it over to LSU baseball with our guy Hunt Palmer on Twitter, at HuntPalmer88. Okay, the inevitable Zach Hess question. I got to lob it at you here. The idea that he might not be a Friday starter, I think people are rightly questioning. But do you think in some shape or form this guy remains a weekend rotation starter throughout SEC play?
Oh, man, Ben, if I had the answer to that question, I would tell you. I just don't know. I've now kind of lost the faith that he's going to find it and become that dominant one. I don't think that's really realistic at this point. It's okay to still say that a guy that throws 94 miles an hour and has a sharp breaking ball could become a really good starter, but I think betting on that at this point is probably a little ambitious. Question is, who's next? Like, who is going to be a weekend starter? Because no one has stepped up and taken those reins. So right now I think he's one of their best options because he's got experience and, you know, he's done it at a reasonable level. It's not as if Zach Hess last year was a disaster as a weekend starter in the SEC. He had a stretch where he was consistently going 6 and 7 innings and giving up 2, 3, 4 runs, and that's fine. It's just not what Kevin Gausman and Aaron Nola and Alex Lang did. So that's what we're comparing him to, and that's what you think that LSU would need to have to contend and win a national championship. So right now, I'm perfectly fine trotting him out there as a starter because I simply don't have three better options.
Well, I would imagine one of the next best options is the guy that's been starting on Saturday, Landon Marceau. Are you inclined to believe that was just a bit of a blip on the radar, kind of a learning experience against a patient team at the plate against Texas this past weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at this point in their careers, Aaron Nola and Anthony Renato were not dominant SEC starters either. I mean, Anthony Renato didn't pitch for his entire freshman year because he was coming back off an injury and just pitched at the end. And Aaron Nola was kind of a reliever and then a midweek starter before they thrust him in the three-hole later in the year. So I still think this kid's got a ton of promise. I'm actually very surprised that Paul Molinari announced today that he's not starting on Saturday. They're going to start Cole Henry on Saturday. Landon Marceau is going to pitch out of the bullpen on Friday, and then he's going to start next midweek against Northwestern State. So that surprises me a little bit. I'm not sure exactly what the thought process is there, but I think Landon Marceau is a weekend starter for this team in the middle of SEC play, and I think he's going to be a good one.
Hunt Palmer laying it down for us on 103.7 The Game. All right, you've got the latest info, so share it with us. It's going to be Zach Hill on Friday night. You just shared it's going to be Cole Henry on Saturday. How do they go Sunday? Is it Eric Walker again?
Eric Walker will get the ball on Sunday, hopefully can extend a little bit more and a little bit more. You feel pretty confident when he's got the ball. I mean, you know, he's pitching in the cold and the wind on Sunday, so the velocity's down to 85 most of the time. But I think once it warms up, he'll be around there at 87. The command looks pretty good. It gives up a homer, and he did hit a guy. But I think that he's easing back, and he's going to be a steadying force in that weekend rotation at some point. But, yeah, I would hope that he could go somewhere like 80, 85 pitches and hopefully chew through 5 innings on Sunday. That would be ideal.
We'll let you out of here with this one. If we put you in Paul Molinari's spot, which means people would tweet to fire you just about every day. If we put you in that spot, though, Hunt, would there be any changes you would make to the way that they arrange their hitting lineup? Because I know at the beginning of the season you weren't wild about where Duplantis was. If you had a magic wand to wave over it, would you change anything now?
I still like the first four. I'm fine with that. I think Smith right there has just done a great job at the top of your order. Watson has really settled into that two hole, and I mean, who wouldn't want to hit there? And Smith's on base all the time, and Duplantis is driving and running like crazy. You got Duplantis there, and then you've got Cabrera. The issue is going to be you got to find somebody to hit behind Cabrera that's going to give you either the threat of the long ball or a really consistent at bat. And right now, they don't quite have that. Is Cade Beloso ready to be that guy? Can Saul Garza step up and be that guy? That's the hope, because you don't expect to be Reed Richard or Hal Hughes or Brock Mathis is going to be able to make that big a step offensively. The one thing that I think you could see change, now you can't do it right now, but potentially you can see change, is that I think you could see Saul Garza go behind the plate and catch when he becomes healthy, and that frees up your DH spot, which I think would be potential for Giovanni DiGiacomo to slide in there, and that's not going to be a power bat, so it's going to be a guy that's a really good hitter, a speed guy who can put pressure on you on the bases. It maybe gives you a little bit more on offense than obviously what you're getting from Brock Mathis, who has hit a couple of home runs, but he's not hitting a ton. And we'll see what Chris Reed's role is moving forward. I think you probably have to play him a little bit, and it may be that Reed plays third and Hal Hughes goes to second, because Fran Broussard right now is hitting under 200, and that's the hitter that he was at the end of last year when he came back from the injury. They got to have more production than that. So there are some pieces to move around. It starts with that front four, which is as good as anybody in the country, but they've got to round out the rest of the order and build a little bit more depth.
He is Hunt Palmer, and he's been helping us to preview LSU versus Cal at the box this weekend and a postseason run coming up for Will Wade and LSU basketball. Hunt, as always, I thank you, my man. It's Bud Light time. Enjoy.
All right, Ben, thanks.
He really is the best. In terms of baseball, I love picking that guy's brain. And he and I have covered a lot of LSU basketball together. I do think this is as good a team as they've had. I'm starting to go further back in my mind than I allowed myself to maybe 2 weeks ago, right? I mean, this is better than the team that Johnny Jones had that only played one game in the NCAA tournament and coughed up a lead and lost to NC State and Pittsburgh. They're certainly better than that team. They're better than the Trent Johnson coach team that won the SEC back in, what, 08, 09? Went two rounds, gave UNC the business in that second round game, but still bowed out in the round of 32. They're definitely better than that team. I think they're better than just about every early Brady team that featured Stromile Swift. And so how far back do you go at this point? The 86 team went to the Final Four. My man Ricky Blanton would say the proof's in the pudding. Hey, you got to get there. But even Ricky on this show said, I mean, boy, we were a team that I think once they got to the Final Four, ended up with maybe 25, 26 wins. LSU basketball's 25-5 right now. They got a chance to get to 30-plus, so might be the best team since 81. I'm going to let you chew on that in the break. And then I want more of your phone calls. Let's get active here. We got Jake Madison coming aboard exactly 30 minutes from right now. In between, we'll fill it up with your calls, your takes. 706-0111, the number to play. We'll be right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. You're listening to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. You're dialed into Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. And you know there must be a little something going on. Maybe some things going on surrounding LSU basketball, LSU baseball, the Cajuns, the Pels. There must be just other things in our sports universe in South Louisiana that are occupying brain space for me to completely neglect until 49 minutes past the top of the hour that LSU spring football kicked off today in Baton Rouge. So I'm going to give you a couple of tidbits, and then we'll go back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Grant Delpit is going to wear number 7 for LSU. That was announced earlier today, and I think that was a pretty easy conclusion. And I think he is a rightful heir to the throne that was once claimed, sat in, dominated by the Honey Badger, by Patrick Peterson, by Booga Nation, Leonard Fournette. And so this is a great choice for LSU. Grant Delpit wearing the number 7. One other note from a local angle, former Berwick High star Keenan Jones, a 4-star wide receiver coming out of Berwick, a 3-time state champ at the 2018 state indoor meet. Keenan Jones is starting this spring off at safety, so moving over from the wide receiver position, and he played sparingly last year, mostly on special teams. All right, enough of that. Let's get out now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. Frank, thanks for waiting on me there. What you got for me?
Well, Ben, you know I'm not a hoop head, excuse me, but I've been looking at the situation from maybe the outside in. They didn't charge Will Wade.
Correct.
They subpoenaed him. So that just means, yeah, we got a little bit of a satin, but maybe you can give us a bigger fish. The only thing that I'm kind of worried about, is he a CYA guy or is he a cover everybody guy?
It's a very fair question. And look, your first point is one I've been trying to make. You might have done it more succinctly. It's very simple to me, Frank. The FBI has leverage on Will Wade, has leverage on Sean Miller because of these tapes. They don't give a damn about the college basketball recruiting cheating. They don't care. It's a means to the end to go get that wire fraud case and make a much bigger case. So they're going to torque Wade and Miller with this leverage, get them to say what they need to make their case. But the problem is the NCAA, if they don't have their heads up there, you know what, should be able to take that information and use it to potentially really, really harm LSU basketball. And if he sticks around Wade, that's a path that I could see this thing going. It's not guaranteed to yet, but I'm worried that it could go in that direction.
So am I. So that's why I ended with, you know, is he a cover his own rear end guy or is he going to cover everybody? I think he will cover everybody, but that's only because I'm a homer. But thank you for the call, Ben.
No, thank you for the call. Always good to talk with Frank. We could talk with you as well. We got time to end hour number one and to kick off hour two. 706-0111. You're just tuning in. Yeah. Another day in which there are two very distinct sides of the coin when it comes to LSU basketball. What's real, what's tangible, is what's happening right now. They're winning games. They're going to be a top eight team in the country minimum come next week's polls, as long as they take care of business against Vanderbilt. And, oh, by the way, if they do that, if they beat the team from Nashville Saturday in BR, they'll go to Nashville at the end of next week as the number one seed in the SEC tournament. It's remarkable. It just is. They don't lose on the road. Who does that in any major conference in America? But the other side, as we've laid out, is there's a Yahoo exclusive report. And again, I know that a couple of these reporters, to many locally, they are Yahoos, but Pat Forty, Pete Thamel, Dan Wetzel, basically indicating that they've gotten the drop on some more when it comes to Wade talking with Christian Dawkins, who's currently in jail. And it would seem to implicate Wade and LSU angling to cheat and get Javonte Smart. Wade telling Dawkins that he made a quote-unquote strong-ass offer, continuing, and I'm paraphrasing at this point, to say that he's tired of the Smart thing, that he feels like he's made a good enough offer, that he's competing against the offer that was more slanted toward the mom. And so the whole thing smacks of impropriety. But if you're a litigator, is that A plus B equals C? I'm not so sure about that either. And so, again, I'm not sure that this alone is damning enough. But for the FBI, it doesn't really have to be. And that's the bigger point I keep trying to bring you to. It might be bad enough as it is. And then once he gets there, it could feed the NCAA something on a platter. So for me, even more smoke. It's just hard for me to imagine that there's not going to be fire at some point. I hope to be wrong, but my gut's telling me that's the direction this thing goes. Let's get back now to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. James, what's your take on it?
Okay, real quick. Yeah, you're right about the fact that it may not be extreme. Well, it is damning. It is damning. Damning enough for them to say, okay, you're going to testify against such and such and we won't charge you. That's basically what's going down here. So there will be some singing going on when this trial comes about. And Will Wade and the Sean Miller will be how do you put it lightly, snitching on some people.
You're absolutely right. They're going to have to, because this isn't the NCAA where if you lie, you face the wrath of Dr. Mark Emmert and a fangless organization for the most part. It's the FBI, and I don't have to enumerate what happens when you lie to the feds.
Exactly. So you can go and perjure yourself and get 5 years of federal time, or go and snitch and get no time. So which one would you choose?
And here's the other part. For me, if it gets to that point, James, post-snitch, I still think that Wade's got a clear path to the NBA, and that's the almost literally get-out-of-jail-free card when it comes to life at LSU. That's my concern, is that Frank put it pretty well. Is he a CYA guy? We don't know. But if we learn that he is, LSU's in trouble, and Wade will continue his career elsewhere.
Have a good one.
You too, James. And let me make one thing abundantly clear. I covered LSU basketball as closely as anybody on this planet for about a five-year run. I hope this doesn't happen, just like I hope something like this never happens to UL basketball, to anybody in this state. I am as big a proponent for basketball in Louisiana as you will find. I don't want this to happen. I hope it doesn't, but I've been hearing for months that there's a better chance it does happen than a lot of people think. So my guess is, if you're tuned in to Sports Talk Radio and other markets in this state, you're not hearing the same conversation I'm giving you right now. That's my guess. And we'll test that theory out. Don't forget, Matt Moscona, host of After Further Review, will be with us at 6:15. Loaded lineup today. You've already heard from Hunt Palmer. We got Jake Madison at 5:15 to talk Pels and the NBA. Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser talking Cajuns straight up 6 o'clock. And then Scona will be back in. We're crossing the basin to talk to our good friend from 104.5, 104.9 ESPN. He'll be with us at 6:15. Just a lot of interesting ways this thing could go down. But it's a black eye right now. Could it stay there? Is that isolated potentially? We're going to find out. All right, CD, one thing we do know is I got to fit in one final word.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Mold. Earlier, LSU spring football kicked off today in Baton Rouge. I was going to say that Derek Stingley certainly fits the mold. Scratch that. Dude breaks the mold. You look at some of the pictures that are out there right now. You go to Twitter. Follow our friend Shea Dixon. Derek Stingley absolutely looks the part, and they broke the mold when they made the freshman out of Dunham. Getting some work in as an early enrollee. And a pretty busy first day of spring football for DBU and Corey Raymond's secondary. Keenan Jones from Berwick switching over from wide receiver to safety, at least for now. Grant Delpit going to strap on the number 7. Amen to that. And Derek Stingley, projected day one starter at cornerback, wearing the number 24 and breaking the mold. That's the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We got 1 hour down, two more to come. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. You're in good hands. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. All right, we've got a busy hour coming at you. Jake Madison in less than 12 minutes talking Pels, and I'll get him to dissect something that Julius Randle apparently said earlier today. The former Kentucky Wildcat said he's never played with a player who plays harder than Drew Holiday. So what does that mean for the future of both of these players and maybe even Alvin Gentry? Could they stick around in life after AD with the new GM that's coming to New Orleans? Before we get there, I want to take more of your phone calls. We don't have to keep going in too deep on LSU Will Wade if you're tired of wading in those waters. But if you're just getting in the vehicle, certainly the news of the day, on the floor, LSU doesn't lose, especially not on the road. And they're a win away Saturday against Vandy, who, by the way, is 0-17. LSU a win away from taking the SEC regular season title. I know, technically they'd be tied with Tennessee. Let us not forget they beat the Vols without Trey Waters. So LSU can lock up an SEC regular season title, the number one overall seed in the conference for next week's tourney in Nashville. But the story still seems to be that dark cloud that's probably even darker today hovering over Baton Rouge, as Yahoo Sports released a report that seems to implicate Wade and LSU were angling to cheat to get Javonte Smart. Now, you got to read between the lines a little bit, but boy, not a lot. And Wade, according to another tape that Yahoo Sports has accessed, made a quote-unquote strong-ass offer to get a recruit. And then he tells Christian Dawkins that the Smart thing, he's sick of it, that he's already made that offer, that he thinks he's done enough, that he doesn't want to keep having to go through these, jump through these hoops, and that he's competing with an offer seemingly that is tilted toward the mother. And so those are some of the things that this latest Yahoo report let go of. And one thing we haven't done on the program yet, we'll correct that now, we haven't yet given you what Will Wade has said in his defense, which admittedly is not a ton, but I feel like it's fair you at least hear this. So, CD, first off, here is Wade briefly on the Yahoo report.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I haven't read it, so I don't have any comment on that.
We'll move forward as we need to.
All right, one more from Wade. He tells you when he heard about the report. And understand, in the context of all this, Wade is doing his monthly, it's not really even a press luncheon. I've been to a number of those things. When it was Johnny Jones, the head coach, it's really a fan gathering that they pay for to go talk to the head coach at LSU while at LeBerge Casino in Baton Rouge. So Wade, directly after, really speaking directly to the fans, was bombarded by media members. And here's what he said about the timing when he knew about it.
I knew about 20 minutes beforehand, 20, 30 minutes beforehand, I think. I didn't know what, they don't tell you what's in it.
And so, again, the report comes out. It seems to further the notion that Wade is going to be, I guess, put to the task, right? And they might try to put the screws to him at this April 22nd FBI hearing. Now, again, the hearing, it really isn't about college basketball recruiting, cheating, and corruption. As much as you think it is, because we're talking about Wade and going to get players, the convoluted thing here is that's not what it's about. It's about making a wire fraud case. But still, it's put LSU in the spotlight for the wrong reasons in the midst of one of the most remarkable runs on the court that we've ever seen. And our sink or swim question of the day, this whole FBI probe, who do you think it ends poorly for? We've given you four options. Is it Wade? Is it LSU hoops? Is it both of the above? Or is it none of the above? And Clint, I'll get you momentarily to update our poll, and we're getting a lot of response on both Twitter and Facebook, so we'll share that with you. But again, if you'd like to weigh in, we've got some time. 706-0111. All right, CD, hit me with the social stats.
All right, we got to say both of the above is leading the polls by a decent amount, 46%. None of the above, surprisingly, in second place, receiving 33% of the vote. Will Wade at 14%. And then just LSU Hoops all by itself at 7%.
And what's interesting on Facebook is we've gotten a series of, I guess at this point, we would just say memes, right? Or GIFs, whatever the hell it is. I'm old. I don't really know. GIFs. But it's people that want to continue talking to you about numbers of fingers, CD. Where did this come from?
I have no idea, but it's just fantastic. Because the first one I saw, I got concerned. Because at first, the beginning of the GIF was a fist. And I was like, don't let it be that second finger. Please let it not be that. Then it's like, oh, hey, they want to be an okay after that. I'm like, okay, awesome. Nobody did anything wrong with the comment so far.
I guess we'll settle on GIFs. That's fine. I know what the acronym is, and that makes sense, right? G for graphics. All right, fine. We'll go with GIFs. So it's not like the peanut butter. It's not GIFs. But I'm curious what you think on this. But again, if it's not your cup of tea, I get that. The other big news of the day, at least on the LSU side of things, spring football has begun. And Grant Delpit, it's announced, is going to wear number 7 for Ed Orgeron and the Tigers this year. That was a veritable disaster last year. There's no other way to put it. When Jonathan Giles, the Texas Tech transfer, basically asked for it, and they loved the gumption, so they put the number 7 on the kid. Horrible. But midway through the season, and don't read me wrong, I'm not saying the player was horrible, but horrible decision. Midway through the season, he was wearing number 12 just to try and shake loose of what was perceived as a jinx, I guess. But now they've got a guy who they've awarded it to, and he fits the mold of baddest motor scooter on the team, right? It was Fournette. It was Peterson. It was the Honey Badger. It was DJ Chark, and now it's going to be Grant Delpit. Other news coming out of spring football. We told you in hour number 1, Keenan Jones, Berwick product, is going to try his hand at safety to begin the season. Derek Stingley Jr., wearing the number 24. And I'll channel my inner Allen Michael, just looking straight jacked. I mean, the kid is going to be an incredible difference maker right off the bat, the freshman from Dunham. And he's getting the time in right now as an early enrollee. But the other thing that I'm glad my good friend Shea Dixon, go247.com, I'm glad Shea reminded all of us of this on Twitter. Kalavon Chasol out there getting in work today. You'll recall he injured himself week 1 against Miami in the 2018 season, and the star edge rusher looked pretty good moving around from what I could see in some of the limited video that's being shared currently on social media. So a lot of defensive news to share with you as of right now. As the hour progresses, if we get some on the offense, some of the quarterbacks, we'll be sure to share that as well. But spring is in the air, at least when it comes to spring football. A lot of things in the air, quite literally, when it comes to discussing LSU basketball, a team that could quite probably at this point make a Final Four run. I mean, they've got those types of chops. They win late. They win away from home. They're good at a lot of different positions. They trust their depth, their star. Trey Waters is back and looked awfully good last night. But then some things hanging in the balance on the other side of the fence. We've talked some LSU baseball with Hunt Palmer as well. Before today's show is over, we'll talk a little Cajuns basketball as Bob Marlin's group back on the hardwood tonight. But right now, let's take our first break. In hour number 1, when we return, Jake Madison, Locked On Pels Podcasting. We're going to talk about Drew Holiday, Julius Randle, and the post-AD New Orleans Pelicans. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number 1 sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Right back in. We're taking our show on the road to New Orleans. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're actually here inside the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. But our next guest, I do believe, is in the Big Easy. Let's go find him. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, and it's Jake Madison, LockedOnPelicans.com. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
It's always a pleasure, and I want to start with the general mood of a team that seems to be moving on from Anthony Davis. I know he's still in the locker room. I know he still plays his part, even though it's a small one, but a team that's played pretty darn well despite a recent loss to the Utah Jazz. What's the mood been like for those guys in the locker room, on the floor, and just in general as they continue to move forward?
Yeah, you know, it's like a big weight has been lifted off of everybody's shoulders, and I mean that literally everybody, because I don't think it's just the players and coaching staff. I think this has just kind of been felt around the organization as a whole, and it starts with Anthony Davis requesting that trade, and you see it out on the court. These guys no longer feel like if they make a mistake, all of a sudden AD is going to want out, so they can go out, play basketball and just do their thing, even if they're not the best players, particularly some of these young guys, so they can go out, just try hard, make mistakes, and improve, and it's not the end of the world. And I think you're seeing kind of that reflect in the play on the court. That's why one of the big reasons they had that three-game winning streak. They played hard in almost every game since Anthony Davis has requested this trade, even though they're kind of all in an awkward situation. But that's a feeling that kind of is around the building as a whole. You know, now that general manager Dell Demps is out and this team's moving forward and they're trying to build for the future, it's in all aspects of the organization. I think people feel that. It's energizing. They know they're going to try and right the ship, get it to where it needs to be, and you can feel that throughout all of the organization.
Jake, from an X's and O's standpoint and a general flow, when you talk about basketball, how would you say that they are better without Anthony Davis right now?
You know, I think it's really simple. They have to share the rock a whole lot more in order to win games and to score points like they were doing when they had Anthony Davis playing a huge role. You know, late in game situations or when your offense was stagnating a little bit, you just got the ball to Anthony Davis and you let him do his thing. Now that he's not out there, they need to pass the ball more. It's creating more assist opportunities. And the Pelicans, over that three-game winning streak, if you want to look at it through that lens, actually were fourth in the league in assists, averaging close to 29 per game. That was a significant increase in the amount of assists per game. So it's guys just being unselfish, having to work a little bit harder to create more open looks, better looks, and I think they're kind of feeding off one another. You know, a lot of fans might want this team to tank, but the players certainly don't. They want to go out, they want to win basketball games, and they want to play hard. And you're seeing them do that. And now without Anthony Davis there, their piece of the pie is all going to be a little bit bigger, and I think that's a motivating factor.
Our guest right now, Jake Madison. You can and you should follow his work, his Twitter feed, at Nola Jake, and the website for the podcast, LockedOnPelicans.com. When it comes to the decision of keeping or not retaining Alvin Gentry, I know it's going to be up to the new GM, but do you get the sense that Mickey Loomis, maybe even Gail Benson, go to bat for him, or are those the type of politics that maybe don't actually exist?
You know, certainly it's going to be up to the new general manager, whoever that's going to be, if they want to keep Alvin Gentry or not. But I wouldn't be shocked if you do see Gail Benson maybe nudge them a little bit to say, hey, at least seriously consider him. You know, his track record here hasn't been the best. He's only made the playoffs one year. They're likely going to miss the playoffs this year. But the team's playing hard right now. You're seeing some solid improvement in guys like Cheick Diallo, Frank Jackson, Kenrich Williams, a lot of these younger guys that they're trying to develop for the future. You could do a whole lot worse than Alvin Gentry for next season. You know, would he last beyond that? I'm not entirely sure. I think maybe you use him as a bridge year, and then you bring in a new coach that's going to be there with the completely remade team once you have a better idea of what that will be. I also wouldn't be shocked if Gentry, at his age, doesn't want to be a coach anymore with that daily grind and maybe gets brought in as an advisor or works in the front office. They've kind of had a bit of a history of moving guys around from the bench to the front office. So I think you could see that be a possibility as well. But Gentry is well-liked within the organization. He's definitely a favorite of Gail Benson, and I think that definitely works in his favor.
Jake, I saw a quote on social media earlier, and you might well have been at the press conference, but Julius Randle saying of Drew Holiday that he's never played with a player who goes as hard as Drew. I'd love to hear your commentary on that and just the type of presence that Drew Holiday is for this franchise.
You know, you can't overstate Drew's role and importance to this team, and I think you're really seeing it over these past eight games or so, particularly as they started to win a little bit more. This is his team now, and he's kind of grown into the role of being a leader, not just this season, but in seasons past too. Anthony Davis always left a little bit to be desired in that regard, and Drew Holiday's always stepped up, and he's done it. And when Randle says, this guy, you know, no one plays harder, Drew's finally going to miss a game since 2016 due to injury. This tomorrow, when they play the Toronto Raptors, he's going to be out with an abdominal strain for a week or two. That's how hard he plays. This is a lost season. He doesn't need to be out there flying around, playing defense at the level that he does. But he does, and he won two games almost single-handedly against the Nuggets, against the Jazz for the Pelicans because of that defensive play, and then what he turned that into on the offensive side. So watching him mature, watching him start to get the recognition he deserves around the league has been wonderful to see. This is a guy, by all accounts, is just a good human being. You know, there's no negative reputation associated with him. He's a family man. He's very religious. This is the type of guy you want to have in the locker room, and I think this is why the Pelicans are going to be very hesitant to trade him in the future. He's a very good influence. He teaches guys how to play the right way, how to be the right type of professional, and there's a lot of value in that.
All right, now let's get to the man who authored that quote, former Kentucky Wildcat Julius Randle. I've had our mutual friend Shamit Dua on this program, and he's pretty adamant. He doesn't see a future for Randle with the New Orleans Pelicans. Are you in lockstep there, or do you think that maybe there's a little wiggle room in that statement?
No, I think there's some wiggle room. No, I haven't been as enamored with Julius Randle as a lot of people are. I think his numbers look great in the box score, but his impact on the court feels lacking and wanting at times. He hasn't been the best defensively either. He's not quite locked in there. A lot of his offense comes from this isolation heavy style of ball, which is not what the Pelicans want to play. But at the same point, this is a guy who can go out and give you 20 and 10 on any given night in the NBA, potentially more than that. And there's value there. You know, if he wants a 3 or 4 year deal at $20 million a year, I think that's a little bit too rich and too long of a contract for me to feel comfortable. But if he were to be willing to take something like $15 a year over 3 years, then I think you can have that conversation. Or if he wants to take a 1 or 2 year deal, I think, you know, even at $20 million, there's potential they bring him back. He's well-liked by the coaching staff. He's well-liked in the locker room. He's a guy that works hard, just isn't the most efficient basketball player out there. But I think you've even seen that improve over these past handful of games as he stepped up in his role. And you're seeing him try a little bit harder on defense. He's improving steadily in that aspect. So I think there's a chance the Pelicans will look to bring him back next season.
It seems to me, as we continue now with Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcasting, it seems to me that the general opinion, Jake, is that the best trade partner for Anthony Davis in the offseason will be the Boston Celtics. I'm interested if you still agree with that after like a month, 5 weeks of the Woj bomb have passed, and what you make out of the Boston Celtics season, the way they're going right now, and if that might affect the willingness of Danny Ainge to make a blockbuster move.
Yeah, you know, I still do think that they're the guys that are the team that can give you the best overall package for Anthony Davis in terms of players that maybe get you back into the playoffs next season. And if you're looking for that, and I would assume the Pelicans want to get back into the playoffs sooner rather than later, I don't think they want to go through a 4 or 5 year rebuild. That's going to be an attractive offer. Guys like Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, maybe another guy like Terry Rozier alongside some first round picks will easily get a deal done, and those are the players they feel are the best ones out there and available for them. You know, Boston certainly is likely going to want to make a move for Anthony Davis. Their year has been very up and down. It's, you know, considered down compared to last season where they made the Eastern Conference Finals and I think took the Cleveland Cavaliers to a game 7 and were one game away from the NBA Finals, and they weren't able to get it done, and they thought maybe adding Kyrie Irving, who didn't play in the playoffs, would be a big boost for them. Gordon Hayward stepping back in would be a big boost for them. And it just hasn't worked. And I think they've seen a lot of redundancy at some of the positions that they have there. Smart, Tatum, Brown kind of all play a bit of the same position. You have redundancy there with Tatum a little bit and Hayward and some other players there. So sending some of those guys out, bringing in a difference maker like Anthony Davis is something I think they absolutely want to do. You know, they were very active during those trade talks that the Pelicans were having with the Lakers, calling the Pelicans and saying, don't trade him to Los Angeles. We can't make an official offer now, but we will make you an offer. They didn't put anything, you know, out there concrete, but they've made it known what's going to be available to the Pelicans. So I think that hasn't really changed over the past month. The fact that they've lost some games, there's some discontent there, probably makes them want to shake up that roster even more, and maybe makes them even a little bit more desperate to trade for Anthony Davis. So keep an eye on them come July 1 when Kyrie Irving opts out of his current deal, and then they can trade for Anthony Davis and start to look to see what they're building for next season.
All right, Jake, the most important question. Rate your NOLA Mardi Gras experience. 1 to 10, brother.
It is always a 10. It was a little bit cold this year, but that's not going to stop me from being out there. Endymion was a wonderful day. It was warm.
Mardi Gras Day, even despite the chill, it's fun to be out there with everybody. I'm a huge Mardi Gras fan, so I never miss one since I've been living here. So it's always a 10.
And look, I saw at least one picture on social media, maybe the dopest Tulane Green Wave shirt I've ever seen.
As a proud alum and someone who actually works for him full-time, too, they broke out the Mardi Gras fighting wave with his little jester hat on, getting the Mardi Gras colors in there. It's the shooting shirt for the team during this time, so of course I had to pick one of those up to rock out on the parade route.
That's fantastic. Jake, you know we appreciate your time. Keep doing what you do, and we'll be listening. We'll be reading. We'll be doing all that. LockedOnPelicans.com. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks for having me on.
Love it. The guy gives you insight, freely admits that he looks like Jose Calderon, and if you don't get that NBA reference, I can't help you. And he's out there repping the Mardi Gras green wave look. We'll be right back in. More B2BS, time to throw a little shade and take your phone calls. Hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, and we're having fun on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Right back in with more of the good stuff. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. And we're hanging out live at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. You get a chance, come out and join us. I know, everybody just went through Mardi Gras. Can you keep partying? The answer is yes, if you're a winner. So get on out here to the Taproom. I'm here until 7, and then the live music begins from 8 until 11. The beautiful part, no rhythms on the river, no problem at the Taproom River Ranch because they've got no cover charge. You come in, you listen to the music, you have a good time, and that begins tonight at 8. Speaking of a good time, it's about that time. I give you your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. I encourage you to visit their website, patiocenter.com, and just start to drool at the inventory because they can really help you with the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the beautiful, customizable patio covers with the Cypress accents. And know that you can trust their management top down. It starts with Mark. They're going to help you to create a vision, and then they're going to fulfill it for you. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home, and how beautiful that is in 2019. Collectively, the team at Patio Center is ready to up your patio game. All it takes to start, a trip to the website, patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
On a day like today, there really is a lot of low-hanging fruit. And typically, we yank that bad boy right off the tree. But Clint, we'll dig a little bit deeper. LeBron James passed Michael Jordan last night on the all-time scoring list. And in the aftermath of that, you've uncovered something that fits pretty well in this segment.
I think it definitely fits really well, Ben. It's Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson. They have a podcast, which I just found out about, called The Road Trippin' Podcast. They started it back when they were members of the Cavs alongside LeBron. And upon hearing that news that he passed Jordan last night, they had a lot of thoughts. And I'm just going to read the whole exchange because it is just amazing shade, saying, I think it's a huge accomplishment for a guy like him who's shown his consistency of ball hogging. He's a huge ball hog. And then you have Jefferson respond with, never pass the ball. And then Jefferson posed the question, why don't you try to be the pass the all-time assist leader? Why don't you try and pass John Stockton instead of trying to pass Kareem? It took him long enough. What is this, 19 years? Years. It took him years. And Jefferson kind of jumps in between that, saying that he, if he kept playing, he would have passed people too. Channing Frye, this is probably the best thing ever. Yeah, if I just shot 14 to 15 times a game, anyway, congrats, man. You suck. Jefferson, couldn't have a nicer guy. And then Frye wraps it up, you owe me a bottle of wine.
See, you know they're having some fun there. And I can appreciate it. Again, you're reading written word, but the way they spoke it, and I've heard it, it was tongue-in-cheek. And pretty hilarious stuff, but I can appreciate that one. I got one more for you, and maybe it's shade, maybe it's not, but, you know, my show. I'm going to steer the ship here. This happened within the last 15 minutes. The Denver Broncos have agreed to trade quarterback Case Keenum to the Washington Redskins. In exchange, the Broncos will get a sixth-round pick in the 2020 draft. And you know what's funny about that? The Skins, who, by the way, are the ones that are getting Case Keenum, they're also going to get a seventh-rounder in 2020. So I know this is a salary cap type move. Keenum, hilariously, is going to be able to count $21 million against the Broncos salary cap in 2019. So I'm throwing shade at the idea that Case Keenum leaves a $21 million void and the idea that he's leading the Washington Redskins to anything other than abject mediocrity.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
Now, to be clear, Keenum's base salary wasn't $21 million. It's actually only $18. Case Keenum was an $18 million quarterback, and your boy didn't even know about it. All right, we got open phone lines between now and our next guest at straight up 6 o'clock. Call us up. We can talk LSU hoops, LSU baseball, or a little bit of the Pels as well, which we just got to with Jake Madison. The number is 706-0111. All right, we've got some LSU baseball news that we can share as well at this point. A bit of a shakeup in the rotation. Paul Menieri announced earlier today Cole Henry, a freshman from the state of Alabama, he'll get the start Saturday, not Landon Marceau. So a freshman in for a freshman. The weekend rotation will go against California at the box this week. Hess, Henry, Walker. And while Marceau will not start a ball game, first time in the weekend this young season, according to Menieri, he will come out of the bullpen to spell Zach Hess on Friday. So tomorrow night has the potential to be very interesting, I think, for LSU baseball. I mean, seriously, when you think about it, Zach Hess is in a position where if he doesn't perform well, Menieri's already said we have to potentially explore other options before we get to SEC play in like 2 weeks. Landon Marceau coming off his worst start, again, very, very early in his true freshman season. How's he going to perform out of the bullpen for the first time? So tomorrow night, at the box, might just provide some answers, but it could give you more questions as well. I will step aside momentarily. Final time in hour number two, and we will be back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Back in for break. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here at the Tap Room River Ranch, waiting on your phone calls. And you've got time to make one in this segment. The famous Clint D, just give him a jingle, 706-0111. We've had a lot of takers so far. Our sink or swim question of the day, in light of the latest that's come out from Yahoo Sports, this FBI probe will end poorly for, and then we get you to fill in the blank. Will it be Will Wade, LSU hoops, both of the above, or none of the above? Let me update the Twitter response so far. And we've had a lot of you comment so far on that venue. 46% say both of the above, Wade and LSU basketball. Not far behind, 38%, none of the above. After that, it's Will Wade at 11% and LSU hoops at 5%. And it's always funny. Maybe I should pride myself in the fact that I don't agree with the masses on this one. Because for me, the fear is that the answer is LSU hoops. And that's the one getting the least run so far. at least on Twitter. We've always got time for you to chime in. And while we're waiting, I want to talk a little bit of Bob Marlin and UL hoops right now, because they've got a pretty big game on the road. They're looking to finish out a regular season above 500 in the Sun Belt tonight at Little Rock, 6:30 p.m. is the tip-off. And here's the TLDR version, right? Too long, didn't read. Cajuns right now are tied for fifth in the Sun Belt. It'd be nice if they can finish in that five slot. They're tied at 8-8 in league play with Coastal Carolina and ULM. And both of those teams tonight have imminently winnable games. In fact, the four teams that are ahead of UL, ULM and Coastal, none of them are playing in this ball game tonight. We'll get back to the Raging Cajuns here momentarily. But right now, let's get out to the ARDCO Equipment Hotline. I believe we have Ken that is with us. There we go. Ken, how are you today?
All right. How you doing, Mr. Ben?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks.
Great. Two things. Number one, I think is Wade and LSU, because he's a basketball coach. And whenever you're a basketball coach, it involves recruiting. And, you know, a lot of times illegal things take place. So I'm going to say Wade and LSU. And then I'm going to say, you know, the fans were chanting, you know, bring back Kobe Bryant last night. I mean, you know, I don't know if they're fickle or what, but they seem like they're, you know, getting tired of LeBron James and not getting things done. They're steadily slipping down that slope. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And then, you know, I really don't think he's going to get no big stars in L.A. because, you know, Paul George could have went there. A lot of play out in the game, that was a disaster. And the players don't want to play with him no more because, you know, he threw them under the bus. So it's just a disaster in L.A. And Magic Johnson is to blame, as well as Jeannie Buss. But LeBron James, because he pulled all the strings, is mostly to blame.
Not a bad take. And I'll go in on it as well. Ken, thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'll start with where he ended. The idea that nobody wants to play with LeBron anymore. If he's on a team that has a chance to get to and win the Larry O'Brien Trophy, it's kind of like the Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. Is that the situation where it's going to happen? Because right now, as I look around that organization, you've got a fairly novice GM, or at least the guy who's pulling the strings in Magic Johnson. You've got a head coach that is probably on even shakier ground than Alvin Gentry when you look at Luke Walton. And then point to one other rising star on the Lakers team. You can't. That's the reason the Pels didn't want any of those guys when they were offered the whole poo-poo platter for Anthony Davis about a month and a week ago. So the way I look at it, they're going to have to make a big push. They're going to have to land one big fish to get another. And in the process, absolutely, they're going to throw every single young gun they have under the bus. They're going to have to. And that's what makes this situation different than what LeBron encountered in Cleveland. Take two, when he got back to the land, and then in Miami. Because when he arrived in Miami, there was already Wade and Bosch came in simultaneously. When he arrived in Cleveland, there was already Kyrie and Kevin Love came in simultaneously. In this situation, he arrived in La La Land, and it was a disaster. And it's not getting a whole lot better. So, Ken, that's interesting. As far as the idea that LSU and Wade are going down with the ship here, Titanic style, I don't see it that way. And history shows us that there aren't a lot of coaches who don't have a reason to be loyal to a program that stay loyal. And I'm not making a comment on Wade's character here. I'm really not. But just generally speaking, I mean, Wade's been the coach at LSU for what? I mean, I don't have the timeline in front of me, but I would venture to say, I don't know, 18 months, right? Something like that, less than 24. Where is the long-term loyalty that he would have to LSU, right? I mean, this happened to Bruce Pearl at Tennessee. He had some skin in the game up at Rocky Top, and he was a big name. And look, that leads me to another point I haven't made on the show yet, because it's been asked to me off air, well, what happens with Wade if this goes poorly? And in my mind, if it goes poorly, he goes to the NBA. I mean, that's the safe haven. NC2A can't touch me in the association, whether he gets a head coaching job or not. It's kind of irrelevant. He stays in the game coaching, gets paid to do it, and doesn't have to face the music. So, again, I know that I'm jumping to a point that isn't here yet, but that's part of what I like to do on this show is look ahead. You've all got a cell phone. You've all got the paper. You know the scores. I don't have to tell you the score. I just try to tell you what's up and what's coming. And I'm worried about the way this one may go because in contrast to Bruce Pearl, who took his medicine with the show clause, Pearl got out and did things for the mothership and for the SEC network. But like I said, he had decades in the coaching business and was pretty established. It's near impossible for me to imagine if this thing goes south that Will Wade gets a job as an analyst somewhere. I just don't see that happening. And so what are the options? I think there's only one, and I think it's moving upward toward the association. So, again, I'll stop bopping you over the head with it, but Ken brought up the idea that it's going to go poorly for both. To me, the least likely scenario is that both of the above go down with the ship here because I think there's a path, or maybe I'll put it this way. I'll keep using the ship analogy. I think there's a life raft for Will Wade. If he chooses not to take it and things go poorly, then he's the most loyal cat of all time for bleeding purple and gold after being here for less than 24 months. If he rides out a potential probationary period with LSU, he's got my utmost respect. Now, the option of none of the above is certainly possible. And if that happens, well, then there's going to be a lot of splaining to do, I think, behind this. And everybody continues to text me, call the show, and say, well, they haven't charged him. Well, no, they haven't. And the FBI is not going to charge him unless he perjures himself. That never has been what this is about. So we've touched a lot on that in today's program. And we'll have a little more on the other side of the hour break. I'm excited to have Tim Buckley aboard. Straight up 6 o'clock. That'll be Cajuns basketball heavy. A little Cajuns baseball as well. Suddenly, UL, after a wild and woolly one last night, they pieced together 3 straight wins. I'll let him tell you, Tony Robichaud's group has got their mojo back as they get closer to the dawn of Sunbelt Conference play. Tim will be with us at 6 o'clock, and my good friend Matt Moscona jumping aboard 20 minutes from right now at 6:15. And I'm interested to see where Scona wants to take it because I'll let this be a canvas for him and a blank one at that. I gauge on Twitter that he doesn't believe this is anything worth getting too hot and bothered about yet. So on that front, I'm betting that he and I see this one a little bit differently. But we'll have it out, and we'll have some fun. That's coming your way at 6:15, just about 20 minutes from right now. All right, CD, you're texting me like crazy with Cajuns basketball news. That means you've been doing some homework. Why don't you share with the listeners what you're hitting me with right now?
Yeah, this is kind of give some credit where credit is due to the Sun Belt Conference for putting this up right before they kind of get started with the Thursday night slate of games. And that is, if the tournament started today, the Louisiana Raging Cajuns at 8-8 would wind up being the 6th seed. You have Coastal Carolina being the 5th seed. And, you know, we were talking about it during the break was if they're going to be in a bye. Here's the thing. This schedule now that they have for it is a little weird to where you have 2 play-in games with the 7 through 10 seeds facing off against each other to kind of get to New Orleans. So I would just consider it. It's called the second round. But honestly, I'm just going to call it the first round when it comes to the Sun Belt Conference tournament, and then you kind of move from there with your double buys and whatnot.
So here's what I would say. After what you just shared with the 7 through 10, basically have to play in what would be considered the preliminary first round, the Cajuns need to find their way to stay at 5 or 6. And the team that's got the best chance of taking one of their spots, the 3 teams that are tied at 8-8, UL, ULM, and Coastal, team that's got the best chance to leap above them potentially is South Al. And as luck would have it, South Al is at Coastal tonight. So in a way, you're almost rooting for the Chanticleers, I believe, to win that game. And then you probably wouldn't mind ULM losing at Arkansas State up in Jonesboro tonight. So a lot of basketball in the air. We've talked primarily about LSU. We've dipped the toe into the Cajun waters, but we'll go full in with Tim Buckley. Again, Tim's going to be with us on the Daily Advertiser at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. We're just about 2 hours into the rear view. We got one more to go. Clint and I taking you to 7 o'clock tonight. You are listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game, and we're hanging out this Thursday and every single Thursday at the Taproom River Ranch, where the live music starts not long after we end. Come here, starts your weekend. Live music, no cover from 8 until 11.
Interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It is time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Ready to roll. It's hour three of three. You're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 1037 The Game. Ben Love hanging out at the Taproom, where after we're done, Jones and Holler laying down the sound tonight, 8 until 11, no cover charge at the Taproom. And I'm joined, as always, by my running mate, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. And wouldn't you know it, at least right now, being stood up, left at the altar by our good friend Tim Buckley of the Daily Advertiser. How dare he? You do 3 hours of radio, you try to plug in guests, and, well, sometimes it just doesn't play. Tim, if you're out there, give us a call. If not, you'll lose your seat. We got Matt Moscona coming aboard. Exactly 10 minutes from right now. I'm fired up for that one because I don't believe we see this Will Wade situation exactly the same. I absolutely allow for differing opinions on just about anything in my life. That's why I think this show is as collaborative as it is. We love taking your calls. And as long as Tim has given us that Heisman stiff arm, we can do that right now. 706-0111. I'll add this log to the fire. I've been giving you my opinions on what's happening, what I've been told for several months now by people in Baton Rouge that I've known for years around this program. But some of the outside noise is becoming intriguing. And I couldn't disagree with it anymore. Dana O'Neill of The Athletic is the latest. I believe Dan Wolkin is another. But there have been a number of national reporters writing op-ed pieces and columns that LSU should sit Will Wade or LSU should fire Will Wade. I'm not in that camp. Not unless there's only one reason you should even consider going down that road. If Joe Aleva and company have known for quite some time that Wade is in the wrong and they're allowing him to keep coaching and this keeps coming out and they keep standing by their man, well, then not only is Wade going to get in trouble, not only will LSU get in trouble, but Aleva deserves to be fired. If everything I just said is true, don't forget that word if, then yes, they're going to be incredibly negligent. But short of all that, and it's difficult for me to imagine that they know that he's in the wrong and they're standing by him, LSU's compliance department is as sharp as anyone out there, and trust me, if it's there, they'll find it. And they typically don't side with liars and cheaters. That's just my experience around LSU's compliance and athletic departments. They'll put their own feet to the fire before risking things. And that's the whole point of compliance, right? But short of that, the idea that LSU should preemptively, proactively sit Wade until all this comes and goes, that is just horse manure, in my opinion. I don't have any problem telling you that. How's that ever worked out well for anyone? Missouri had some tutors taking tests for kids. They self-reported. Now they can't go to the postseason. LSU should absolutely go down in a blaze of glory with this thing. No two ways about it. I mean, it's a team right now that's number 10 in the country. They've got a chance to elevate their stock, maybe be the number 7 or 8 team after this week. In all likelihood, if they could beat winless Vanderbilt on Saturday, they're going to win the SEC regular season title. They'll be the number one seed in the SEC tournament. And there's even an outside chance that LSU basketball could be a number one seed in the big dance. I mean, that's just unheard of in these parts. That's never happened. And I'm going to give a lot of credit here because I think this sums it up about as well as anyone can. and leave it to our guy Larry Holder of the Athletic New Orleans to do that. Here's a series of tweets for Larry. To me, this says it perfectly. Larry tweeted, first, is it bad that I'm in this boat? I'm enjoying LSU basketball. If it eventually burns, it burns. Sitting Will Wade right this second won't stop the fire. I mean, that's just apropos. His second tweet, that said, the reporting on this Will Wade story will and should continue. If the NCAA fries LSU at some point because of it, so be it. And if you were with us in hour number one, I shared an anecdote. My younger brother, huge LSU basketball fan. We both grew up in Baton Rouge. At a certain point, I went to college elsewhere in the SEC, came back and covered LSU, but he has been an out-and-out purple and gold fan. And when he saw this news today, first thing he texted me is, okay, so you've been right this whole time. All right, well, I don't need you to feed the ego, little bro, but yeah, you know, I didn't have any intention of being wrong. But number two, he said, Ben, I don't care what happens, just hang the damn banner. And he said, if they take it down for the PMAC, they can hang it in my crib. He said, the banner will hang. Just keep winning, baby. And I think that's how so many people around South Louisiana and LSU Nation feel right now. So it just continues to be the strangest of times around a program that I've covered for a decade now. Followed it for a lot longer than that as a kid who grew up in the capital city, but day in, day out, beat writer, broadcaster covering it, I can't remember anything quite like this. Knowing that the X's and O's, the Jimmys and Joes, the stars of all those things are aligning to where LSU has its best team, and I think we can start to safely say, since 1981, seriously, their best team in close to 40 years. And yet there are some dark clouds on the horizon, and nobody's quite sure exactly which way it's going to go. One thing that I am quite certain of, and this will become my central thesis of our opening segment here in hour number three, thank you, Tim Buckley. One thing I feel quite certain of, the answer is not sit down, Will Wade. There are some times where the national media has the same idea as the local media. This ain't one of them. It is sitting high atop an ivory tower and trying to have LSU potentially pay for the sins of North Carolina and Kansas and Arizona and all the other blue bloods. Nobody's asking Sean Miller to sit down for the season. Have you noticed that? He also has been subpoenaed by the FBI to show up at that federal trial on April the 22nd. So to me, I think some of these outside-looking-in national journalists, they need to get off our lawn. That's a little bit of how I feel, if you want to know the exact truth. And you listen to my show, so you do. All right, we got to step aside. I feel pretty good that we'll get our next scheduled guest aboard. We haven't crossed the basin to talk with Matt Moscona in some time. We're going to reverse that curse after this commercial break. Ben Love hanging out with you at the Tap Room River Ranch, and we'll have Scona next. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
Right back in for break. A little SRV leads us in. Clint, what happened to our corny ass crossing the basin? How are the people supposed to know who's joining us right now? This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Still hanging out with you at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Hey, he doesn't need a ton of introduction, but I'm going to do it anyway. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, the host of After Further Review, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, and Cox Sports TV. Scona, how the heck are you?
B-Lo, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've got about 45 minutes to go to get to where you've already been. You finished your three-hour show. Let me start by asking you this. What is it that gives you optimism that this might be benign when it comes to Will Wade and that there might not be any fire where there seems to be smoke?
Well, the way you phrased it was interesting because I don't know if I have a ton of optimism that it's benign, but I guess if it proves to be inconsequential, if there were a smoking gun, don't you feel like we would have seen it already? I guess that would be the flip side of that. And the other part of it, Ben, is, I mean, how many instances, if we start listing them, right, how many instances can we find of things that appeared to be something on the surface, but the NCAA was either unable to prove or just failed to punish? I mean, we saw documentation of Cecil Newton requesting a $180,000 payment for his son's commitment. And Cam Newton played the entire 2010 season, won a national title, won the Heisman, and nothing ever came of it. In 2013, there were documents, there were text messages, there were receipts for guys like DJ Fluker receiving payments to play at Alabama, and nothing ever came of it. I guess my point is, man, there's just – it's so hard to decipher what the NCAA is going to elect to pursue. Like, what's going to be their, you know, the for lack of better phrasing, the witch hunt. I mean, it was very clear, man. They wanted Hugh Freeze's hide, and they got it. Maybe they're going to go after Will Wade, but there's no open investigation yet. There's no FBI investigation into Will Wade. We have a transcript of a phone call, which sounds terrible, but no proof of impermissible benefits as of now.
And that's exactly where I want to go next. Matt Moscona, good enough to give us time on 103.7 The Game. Obviously, you and I are not attorneys, but how damning to you was the transcript today that Yahoo Sports released?
Are you asking me from a legal perspective? And I'm not being funny. Like, I'm serious. Are you asking, like, legally?
Yeah, No. Because you and I obviously can't comment on that part, but...
But I can't because, it doesn't – you don't have to be Perry Mason, man. It's like, okay, well, there's a transcript of a recorded phone call, but there's no smoking gun. Like, if you have a paper trail, if you can follow money that went to Javonte Smart, who we're presuming that's who this is, or a third party that got to Smart and came from Will Wade or an LSU booster, well, that's the smoking gun I'm talking about. And – you know, even in the Yahoo piece, Ben, if you go read the Yahoo piece today, which I know you haven't, I'm sure you've been talking about it plenty, but there's a line in the it's one line. It otherwise, amid the quotations, might be thrown aside, but the line reads, I'm looking at it right now, "The tape does not reference any specifics about the offer. If the particulars of the offer violated NCAA rules, if the player and or his mother ever knew of the offer, or if anyone accepted whatever the offer was," offer being used in quotations. So basically, they don't know what it was. They don't know any of the particulars. They don't know if it violated rules. They don't know if the player even knew about it. They don't know if anything was accepted. So all of that would have to be proven, and right now there's no proof of any of that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, and please don't misunderstand me. I am not absolving Will Wade of any wrongdoing. I just don't know. But I also know the transcript of a phone call is a far, far, far ways away from conviction or NCAA sanction.
And I guess I'll share where I come out. And you and I have talked a little bit off air for quite some time, Matt, that there was more than just the one tape that we all heard back in whatever it was, October. And obviously that's starting to come to light today. If there's more than even what we know now, it'll come out April 22nd. I don't have any doubt that Wade and his legal team will take care of his backside on April 22nd. I don't know what happens from there, though, and I think you brought up a great point off top. Can the NCAA really be trusted to do anything, even if gift-wrapped this information and it's damning? Can they even prove helpful, worthwhile, or that they can do anything to punish LSU or Wade if that happens? What's your reaction, I guess, to that?
No. If Will Wade can shake the FBI – if there's anything to be shook, then it can most certainly shake the NCAA. Ben, the NCAA doesn't have subpoena power. The NCAA can't force Will Wade to testify or subpoena documents or anything like that. What the NCAA could do is they could send someone in a suit to Baton Rouge to ask questions, and they expect you to cooperate or to admit guilt. And if you don't do it, then they got nothing. Now, what that's why the NCAA always expects people to self-impose punishments, and it's always worse if you deny, and then information comes to light that you are, in fact, guilty. So under the way you phrased it, Ben, I mean, if his legal team can take care of him in federal court, and keep it in mind, man, and I think it's important to note, like, Will Wade hasn't been charged with anything. That's where I think people keep getting crossed with. The attorney for Christian Dawkins is going to call as many coaches as he probably can because he's trying to prove that his client wasn't bribing coaches to get prospects to sign with him. The attorney's trying to prove that this was like a two-way give and take, right? I mean, that's what they're trying to prove here. So he's going to get as many coaches as he possibly can to pull back the curtain on all this stuff. How many of them testified? Does Will Wade plead the fifth? I don't know, man. But it's a different conversation between that and, you know, Will Wade looking at potential prison or anything like that, which we're not even – that's not even realistically in the conversation, but I think there's just misinformation about the whole thing.
Enjoying the chat. We got another few moments with Matt Moscona on 103.7 The Game. I love kind of the not-so-underground sentiment, Matt, that has come above ground. LSU fans basically saying, whatever happens, that's fine. The sanctions, they could be damned. Just take care of business this season. What they're doing on the floor is spectacular. Hey, do you blame them for feeling that way?
Nope. And listen, I'll tell you this. When USC got hammered post Pete Carroll, I made the point, if you're a USC fan, aren't you okay with this? Because you got to enjoy that glorious run. Like, if you told a Mississippi State football fan, hey, you could have that amount of success over a half decade that Southern Cal did, say from 01 to 05. But the result is you're going to go through this miserable period through scholarship reductions and sanctions. Do you think they take it? I mean, of course they would. They've never experienced that level of success. So I think LSU fans would certainly take it. I think Fab Five fans are certainly glad that they had the Fab Five. I think just collectively too, man, fans just aren't naive. I think everyone understands, you know, and Charles Barkley admitted he took money in college. Arian Foster admitted he took money in college. We had the SMU scandal where there was documentation of a payment plan. Ben, that was in the 1980s, man. I mean, anyone that doesn't think this happens at their school is just naive. I think the bigger question is, can the NCAA get a hold of this to allow all of this to be brought above board so it doesn't have to be done, as you put it, underground? And so that's a long way to answer your question. Now, I don't blame LSU fans at all. If they're just saying, let's go win on Saturday, win the SEC for the first time in a decade, whatever comes down, 2, 3, 5 years or doesn't, live with it sort of thing. I don't blame them at all.
Hey, while we got you here, got to go down the road of LSU baseball. Obviously a disastrous weekend in Austin. I guess what's your level of confidence that Maneri Dunn put this pitching staff together, they get healthy in time to do what we maybe all expected come SEC play?
Dude, LSU is going to be in Omaha. I mean, mark the tape, bring it back to me in June if I'm wrong and laugh at me. Ben, last year I watched Mississippi State, which lost 29 games, had its coach fired 3 games into the season, went 15-15 in conference, had to travel in regional and super regional action, and got to Omaha. I mean, I look at LSU, they've got 6 starting pitchers, they've got 7 or 8 guys that can throw mid-90s, they've got a professional outfield, they got an All-American at shortstop. There's too much talent for them not to figure it out to be really dangerous come May and June. It's just what they do every year, man. Maneri's a tinkerer. He'll adjust his lineup. He'll fool with the pitching rotation. He'll find spots where guys belong. They do it every year, and they'll do it again this year. I mean, there's too much talent on that roster for them to be a 500 team in the conference that's traveling for a region. They're going to be fine. You can call me back in June if they're not in Omaha, and you can laugh at me. But I'll be stunned if this team isn't in the College World Series.
I said on the show yesterday, I think a CWS appearance is still more likely than LSU basketball to the Final Four. So I agree with the CWS part, but you think this LSU basketball team, am I underselling their ability come March?
Ben, I know you love basketball, man. last year we saw Loyola of Chicago go to a Final Four. And we saw, dude, VCU went from the first four as an 11 seed to the Final Four. Like, can LSU go to a Final Four? Hell yeah, they can go to a Final Four, man. Like, let me see what the draw is. They're probably going to be a three seed. If they win Saturday and win the SEC tournament, they get a great shot to be a two seed or maybe even a one. Let me see what the draw is. They get hot. Yeah, man. Can they go win four games and make a Final Four? Heck yeah, they can win four games and make a Final Four. I would agree with you that because of the random nature of that tournament, it's more likely for LSU baseball to win a regional and a super regional than LSU basketball go to the Final Four. But, man, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they're playing in the Final Four in Minneapolis.
The man just did 3 hours on his show. Good enough to give us time on this side of the basin. Skona, you know we appreciate you. Enjoy your evening.
All right, D-Lo, good to talk, man.
Got to love it. Matt Moscona, host of After Further Review. And there's no doubt LSU can go to the Final Four. But we agree that the CWS appearance is more likely. Just look at the pedigree, right, for LSU baseball. And he was a little more toward the middle of the road than I probably expected beforehand when it came to the Will Wade stuff. Let's dive into that. I'll react. We'll take your phone calls as well on the other side. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Another half hour as we hang out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
~25 to change until 7 o'clock. Right back in. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines are open. I'd love to hear some of your reaction to what Matt Moscona had to say in our last segment. What do you make out of that? I've got some takes. I'll share them with you. Whenever you're ready, dive in. 706-0111. The first thing that I noticed was this. Moscona's, I think, insinuation that it's on the NCAA to find a burden of proof or whatever you want to call it, some kind of standard of guilt that LSU did it. I don't know if that's exactly how that works. In other words, I think it might be a little more up to LSU to prove that they didn't. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree, but if the NCAA is able to use ammunition from the FBI, then what happens? And again, we're talking quite a ways down the road. You have to get through April 22nd. The world will be able to hear and see what Will Wade says, if there are more tapes we don't yet know about. And then after the fact, well, what happens if the NCAA comes on campus and they bring it to you? Can you prove that you didn't? Now, the biggest thing that Moscona said that I completely agree with, that I haven't necessarily brought to bear here on the show, he's right. At some point, there's going to have to be a little bit more of a smoking gun if anything bad is really going to transpire. It's nice to say the smart thing. It's nice to have a recording where he talks about a payment plan being tilted toward the mother and his strong-ass offer that goes in a different direction. I mean, it's all very, I think, pointed in a bad direction, right? It points toward impropriety, but I don't think it's necessarily a paper trail. Obviously, I don't think it's a smoking gun. Let's just leave it there. The exact phrase that Moscona used. So what does the FBI know at this point that we don't? And those are things that almost certainly we're not going to find out until April 22nd. Unless there's more investigative journalistic work that's done. And that's the point that Larry Holder of The Athletic made. And I read that to you, I believe, at the end of hour one. Or excuse me, can't remember what hour we're in. At the end of hour two, the beginning of hour three, at some point, I read Larry's tweet to you. He's right on. The reporting on Wade will and should continue, but I like the way he ended it. If the NCAA eventually burns LSU to the ground, hey, so be it. If they're able to make some kind of ridiculous, unprecedented run in this month's tournament. And don't forget, if you're a student of the history of this program, LSU basketball has never won a game in the Final Four. 81, 86, 06. All got there, all lost the opening game. And for bonus credit, don't forget that the 81 team actually lost two games in the Final Four back in the gap when they made you play a third-place game. And LSU had to suit up against, I believe, what, Ralph Sampson and Virginia? Clint will tell me if I'm wrong. He's pretty good at that. But I'm pretty sure memory is going to serve me right there. Time will tell. But LSU has not won a Final Four semifinal basketball game in the history of the program. Could this team get hot? I'll agree with what Moscona said as well. Depends on the seed, the matchup. And to me, one of the most important parts, location. It's not just paramount in real estate. It's huge when it comes to a fan base supporting a team. Kentucky basketball, maybe UCLA basketball, Kansas basketball, Arizona, Duke, North Carolina basketball, they travel anywhere. They're going to go follow their team anywhere they play in the country. I think we all understand that LSU basketball has got a lot of fans that are on the bandwagon right now, and it's got some true blues that have been there from jump. But if you're not in Atlanta, Nashville, Jacksonville, Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, obviously, if you're not in that, I like the way that Billy Napier puts it when the Cajuns football coach talks about how he recruits. If you're not kind of in that 6 hour, or maybe in the case of Nashville, Atlanta, Jacksonville, if you're not in that 9 or 10 hour type of radius, it's probably not going to happen for you to the same volume. And so I remember a talented LSU team with Big Baby on it in the middle of the odd decade, and they got shipped out to Boise. And you got Glenn Davis talking about Smurf turf. Pretty hilarious for interviews. Not conducive to going and winning tournament basketball games if you're LSU. And you probably could use a road contingent to follow you. Now, that said, you look up right now, LSU will not lose a road game in SEC play this year. Just uncanny. Uncanny the way that they've rattled off 9 games away from the PMAC and doing it at Bama, at Florida, the piece de resistance at Kentucky. Got to throw in at Arkansas. I mean, these are tough places to play against some pretty darn good basketball teams. LSU didn't have to play at Rocky Top this year. That would have been the highest hill to climb. But they did beat the Tennessee team in Baton Rouge. And so the accomplishments continue to stack up. But where you end up in the NCAA tournament is a big part of it. A lot of predictions with LSU in the East bracket, more than likely, that would have the Tigers going through Jacksonville. That's been pretty kind of the Tigers. Darryl Mitchell, local product, hitting a game-winning shot against A&M in the NCAA tournament. Again, if memory serves correct, I think it does. That game was in Jacksonville. So you can get it done, I think, close to home. But if LSU somehow gets shipped out to the West Regional, and that's been the pick for some in bracketology land, I just wouldn't feel as good about that. Even if the matchups are great, wouldn't love LSU in Los Angeles, right? Or Phoenix, Albuquerque, or, God forbid, Boise. Just don't think that's the best setup. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll take our final break during the show. When we return, we'll try to switch it up a little bit. Yes, you're welcome to go in on LSU hoops, current state of the program, success on the floor, potential off-the-floor issues, but I'll try to take it in a different direction to wind things down, specifically the high school basketball direction. Have to give my propers to the Brobridge Tigers. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
One last time, B2BS reigning supreme. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out live at the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, my running mate, the famous Clint D, inside the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. You're welcome to give him a call. We got time until 7. the number, 706-0111. And Clint, as you know, while you were partying it up on Mardi Gras, yours truly on Fat Tuesday was down in Lake Chuck calling a game that got out of hand quickly. Karen Crow, a return trip to the top 28, impressive in its own right, but they met their demise and badly. 67-39 was the final in that game against top-seeded Bossier. Now, what's cool, the silver lining, is that tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, if everything's on schedule, Bro Bridge, the number 3 seed in Class 4A, is going to take on that Bossier Bearcats team. Now, this isn't meant to put a pin in the balloon, but it's just being as honest and objective with you as I can. That Bossier team was unbelievable. And it's not just because they beat the you-know-what out of Karen Crow. I had been hearing about it before I went. Some of my friends from the 318 saying, you ain't seen nothing quite like this Bossier team yet. And they proved a lot of those Nostradamuses from North Louisiana correct. Because from Jacoby Decker at the point guard position down, I mean, that's a team that seamlessly went 10 to 12 deep, were pressing the entire first half, went up like 24, 26, something like that at halftime, and very clearly called the dogs off. Didn't press the entire second half against Christopher Kovach's team. Played a little bit more four-corner style on offense, and so they could have really named their score in that game. And again, it's not a knock on Karen Crow. That Bossier team is incredible. And so the challenge for Coach Porcio and the Tigers tomorrow night, it's immense. Because my gut tells me, and again, I haven't seen this year's Madison Prep team. I'm familiar with how Jeff Jones and the Chargers get down on an annual basis, though. I haven't seen this year's Rayville team, but I did see them last year. I haven't seen this year's Dunham team, but I have seen Jonathan Pixley's team before. I mean, there are a lot of heavyweights that are out there. I'll put it this way. It's hard for me to imagine there are more than two teams in the state better than Bossier, if there are two. They are really, really good. And so I say that to say this. If tomorrow night at about 10 o'clock you hear a roar from Pont Bro, know that the upset is sizable, historic, and that'll be one of the best success stories for an area basketball team in a very, very long time. But what Bro Bridge has done even to this point, I mentioned how impressive it is that Kovach and the Karen Crow Golden Bears have been to back-to-back top 28s. This Bro Bridge team, man. The most impressive win so far, and this is no due disrespect to Leesville, because that game was fairly lopsided on Tuesday night, Bro Bridge over Leesville, a 3 beating a 2 seed in Lake Charles. But I think the most impressive feat, from what I can tell and everything I've seen so far, Bro Bridge coming from behind at home in the fourth quarter from just about double digits, I was told, to beat Oliver Winston and Westgate. Whoa, you've got my attention right there. I called, I believe, 3 games? Yeah, 3. I called 3 games this year that involved Westgate. I had them at Karen Crow, at Northside, and at St. Thomas More. And they impressed me just about every time. Probably should have beaten Karen Crow in a game that ended up going to double overtime. Just couldn't pull it off on the road. They did beat Northside by double digits on the road, and it wasn't their night in a pretty close ball game still at St. Thomas More. But that Westgate team, oh, they hurt you in a lot of different ways. They can pump it from the outside. They've got size on the interior. 3 different kids that are going to play college football. They can mix it up on the hardwood as well. So Westgate impressed the heck out of me this year. So to know that Bro Bridge beat that team, it has been a season of destiny so far for Bro Bridge. We'll see if it continues. But the Tigers, not the only area team that's made their way into the final in Burton Coliseum, home of the McNeese State Cowboys. LCA is gunning for a 3rd straight state championship. And I got to watch that semi go down on Tuesday. They were the game right before Karen Crow Bossier. And it just felt exactly like a carbon copy of a game I called last year. Last year, myself, James Ricks, we had LCA Southern Lab in a state semi. This year was LCA versus Opelousas Catholic. And they were mirror images because LCA at one point, I believe, was down 15 in the Southern Lab game last year in the second half. This year they were down 16 mid to late third quarter. against Opelousas Catholic both times. LCA breaks out the press. They go on a bananas run, and they end up winning semi-comfortably. I think it was a little more comfortable against Southern Lab. The Vikings of Opelousas Catholic were incredible in that game. The kid Keon Hamilton is a stud. He could be an absolute star. And I told a number of people, because I trust my guys that are out there boots on the ground. I mean, when Brad Boyd comes on this show, and look, when Eric Mouton comes on this show, and they both tell me that Opelousas Catholic is for real, I told my guy that was running color for me this year, Blaine Viator, I told him on the drive over to Lake Charles Tuesday, I said, my gut tells me Opelousas Catholic is about to give LCA all they want. And they did. So that Opelousas Catholic team needs to hold its head high. But B.J. Francis, T.J. Jones, who was in foul trouble, Tippy Howard and the LCA Knights, they deserve a lot of credit. Because they came from behind. They got their man Errol Rogers Sr. doing not one but two splits on the floor. One in a timeout break as the run was on, and they weren't even on top of the mountain yet, right? They were still making the run. They weren't leading. And then one split after the game. Great photography from Scott Claus, if you've seen those photos in the advertiser. But they deserve a lot of credit. And LCA tomorrow has got a chance to win a third straight title, and they'll face a familiar foe, Dexter Washington and the Hamilton Christian Warriors. So I gave you the path for Bro Bridge. Their task tomorrow, LCA, they're not looking quite as high up the mountain, I think, as Bro Bridge will be. They might about be on level pegging with Hamilton Christian. Difference being, of course, well, it's got to be two straight state championships, right? The Knights certainly have their championship pedigree, and we'll see if they bring home a third straight to the northern Lafayette portion of our fair city. Now, let's move it along to St. Thomas More. And you've been hearing me pump the fact that Danny Broussard and the Cougars, they're going for another title as well. This will be two straight for STM. And I told you already that I thought, let's compare some things, right? I thought that the quarterfinal win for Bro Bridge was its most impressive so far in the playoff run of the Tigers, coming back to beat Westgate. LCA, its most impressive win was Tuesday in the semis, coming back to beat Opelousas Catholic. Without a doubt, the most impressive win and the way that it was authored for STM in its playoff run was yesterday. They throttled, especially late, ran away with the ball game against top-seeded U-High. And I don't care if Brighton Constantine was injured, didn't play. You beat a Joe Spencer coach team like that. And they did it last year in Lake Charles. They beat U-High good. We called that game, Brad Boyd and myself. I am very impressed with what STM was able to do. And they got a big-time performance out of Caleb Holstein. I had three St. Thomas More games this year that I called. That wasn't always the case. Caleb, who was an ace at quarterback, had his ups and downs on the hardwood, at least in the District 4-4A games that I saw. But along with Carter Domang and Jaden Shelvin, a couple of sophomores, look, they got it done yesterday, and they deserve a whole lot of credit because I think a lot of people would have had U-High advancing as the number one seed, but it was not particularly close after halftime. So credit goes out to St. Thomas More. They don't have the size of U-High, but I think they showed that they were ready for that game from a mental standpoint. Got to credit coaching there. And they probably had numbers on U-High as well. I mean, Danny Broussard not afraid. A little bit like that Bossier team I saw. They're not like them in physical stature, but in terms of depth they are. And the Cougars rolled out 10, 12 players. That's what they do. So it's going to be very interesting to listen, and I will be listening, to STM take on De La Salle. It'll be a 2 p.m. tip-off. I've been telling you that on our sister station, The Rewind, this Saturday, 2 p.m. And that De La Salle team, a couple of years back, beat STM in the semis. Very late game. Cougars have a chance for some retribution. They've got a chance to bring home the second straight state title for the program, third in the last decade under Danny Broussard. And so it's a program that continues to gain steam. Say what you want, select, non-select. The Cougars win over U-High, one of the most significant and maybe eye-opening this week, I would say, inside of Burton Coliseum. You know I had to show some love to the prep side. Glad we carved out time to do that. And besides, some of you were probably at least a little bit sick of some of the Will Wade talk. I get it. I do want to thank our guest today, Heck of a program. We had a guest in each hour. Hunt Palmer in hour number one, talking LSU baseball, little LSU hoops as well. Jake Madison, he's locked on Pelicans, and that's why we talked New Orleans Pelicans basketball with him in the 5 o'clock hour. And you heard Matt Moscona earlier, does a tremendous job. ESPN Sports Talk Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, and on Cox Sports Television as well. We are all over the Will Wade topic. Thanks to those guests. No thanks to Tim Buckley. You stood me up today, bro. You owe me a beer next time you come to the Tap Room River Ranch, which is where I will be as soon as we close the curtains here momentarily. Thanks again to our listeners, our callers, and everybody who engaged on social media. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. This has been Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll catch you tomorrow at 4 on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.